buggest bins of and quack
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the ball.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number 32 for November 25th, 2012. My name is Hurley Commons.
And I'm Alex Bolova.
And we greet you all with a simple hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Nothing much has changed. It's not like we've been off the air for several weeks.
We do thank everyone for sticking with us through the brief hiatus.
Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you so much for putting up with this. I think if you're still in school, you know how busy this time of year gets, and we really appreciate your patience, and you know what? We're back, so start the show.
Yeah, we're back, and yes. And the good thing about having listeners that are around our age is that they understand, you know, to an extent.
Yeah.
How busy school is and all that, but hopefully we will be on a regular schedule for the next millennium. So, breaking news. We have a few choice news stories that we're going to get into this week. And the first one is very exciting, and that is pretty much the first Catching Fire official media bit that we've gotten. And that is the logo and tagline have officially been revealed for Catching Fire. And it's it was a little small tease that ran in theaters, actually, before Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yes, my sister and her friends actually went to see it this week. And she came back home, and she was like, oh my god, they had a Catching Fire trailer before. I'm like, oh, wait, what was it? She's like, oh, it's the logo, and it turned into Mockingjay. I'm like, okay, that's a lot, I guess. Not really.
Considering the movie will be released a year from yesterday.
Oh, wow.
The 22nd. I'd say it's pretty good.
I didn't expect for them to have, footage. Of course not. I wasn't even expecting there to be a teaser trailer at this point.
Me either, yeah. It was a good surprise, and it was also released as an online poster, just like last year. I was getting a major deja vu, and the song in the online poster is, the same song.
I mean, I guess stick to the formula that got you over, what was the box office for Catching, Hunger Games? Over 300 million?
I can't even remember. It was a lot.
Yeah.
So, so the online poster has the logo, burning, and then it basically took last time, and then it kind of just upped it. So there's a clock behind it, TikTok, it's a clock, and it's turning at the same time. And it burns, and it turns, and then the tagline is revealed, every revolution begins with the spark.
Awesome.
So what do you think of that tagline?
I mean, it really is a perfect tagline for, Catching Fire. I mean, what more can you say? It tells you everything you really need to know about this book. Or, I guess, film at this point.
Yeah. So, I definitely like it. It's kind of it's just, hinting at it, and it's not, so, obvious, but it's not, it's just kind of subtle,
Yeah.
But still intriguing. And the Twitter hashtag, I love the Twitter hashtag, #TheSpark.
Whoa.
This is so awesome.
Yeah, well, here's my question. Do you think, how much do you think social media, advertising will have changed by next year? Do you think they'll be pushing even more internet things, or do you think it'll be about the same?
More than the Hunger Games?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be about the same, just because there was so much of it with the Hunger Games, with, the district.pn and all that, and all the Facebook stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much they could do more, but I think what they did last year, or last time, was pretty good, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that does it for that news story, and Alex, what is the next one?
So, the next news story is that the People's Choice Awards 2013 have been announced, and The Hunger Games has made several categories, including favorite film, favorite movie actress, sorry, I'm scrolling through the list. Favorite face of heroism? Favorite face of heroism.
That's such a weird category.
It is weird. Favorite action movie. Favorite movie franchise.
Uh-huh.
Is that it?
Favorite on-screen chemistry.
And favorite on-screen chemistry.
And favorite movie fan following.
And I'm sorry, why are the Lord of the Rings still on this list?
Okay, I really don't understand sometimes how this works, because, like, it seems like the movies, like, depending on when they fall in the year, like, they still get nominated for things that are, like, later.
Right.
Like, Harry Potter, when was the last Harry Potter?
That was last year.
2011.
This is 2013's list.
Right, and now, I don't get if they go, like, a different year, like, it's not, like, the calendar year, but why would they call it Choice Awards 20... Like, I don't know.
And
the point is...
I didn't even know that Rum Runners was a name for Pirates of the Caribbean fans.
And they don't even have a fan following.
Maybe they do.
Maybe they do, but they don't have, like...
We apologize for all the Rum Runners listening right now. Please, email us and let us know of your presence.
Yeah, but point is, Hunger Games got many nominations, fan following. They named our fan following the tributes.
I like that.
Didn't we just, you like that?
Like, I thought that was already decided, but...
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what else would you call us? I mean, I guess since we're all living, we'd be called, like, victors or something, but...
Yeah, the victors. No, but then that kind of plays into the capital.
Right.
There's not really, like, a good...
I think tribute fits.
Tribute's close,
and
yeah.
It's better than Twihards, just saying.
Way better than Potterheads. Who came up with that?
Who knows? We apologize to the Twihards, Potterheads, Ringers, and Rum Runners.
Yeah, but tributes are going to win this one.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, good for Hunger Games. I think... I don't know what it could win.
Honestly,
it's going
I think
up
it
against
would be,
some big names.
I don't know. I would love to say it would win, like, you know, Best Female Actress.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, people are always suckers like, oh, Twilight's so great.
See, the problem with the People's Choice Award is that it's the people's choice.
Right.
And the people aren't always the best judge.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if Anne Hathaway or Emma Stone won, or Scarlett Johansson. In fact, they're all great actresses.
Yes, very nice.
But for the sake of this podcast, I hope Jennifer Lawrence wins this one. I mean, also chance... Well, no, not best on-screen romance, because that's obviously going to go to Twilight.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know.
See,
listeners, please email us in your predictions.
Yes, People's Choice Awards. I mean, the people, it's cool because you know what the people want,
mm-hmm.
but it's not ever like, ooh, this was actually the best performance, you know?
Yeah. Although, can I just say, I'm so glad some awards recognizing The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Is that nominated?
It's favorite dramatic movie.
Oh, very nice.
And you know what, listeners? If you have not seen Perks of Being a Wallflower, you stop listening now and go to the nearest theater.
I actually haven't seen it.
Early.
But I want to. I wanted to. I only have so much money, Alex.
Yeah, I know.
I can't watch every movie. Okay. Well, that does it for that. People's Choice Awards. So, the next news story is just a little directing update. I actually did not predict this, but Francis Lawrence is set to direct Mockingjay Parts 1 and 2.
Well, let's hope he doesn't screw up Catching Fire.
Hopefully he's good.
I mean, I'm about to say what you're about to say, but... With the same director, we'll get the same sort of tone, same sort of general feeling throughout the franchise, which is very good. We don't want, like, a big jump in, like, oh, one of these movies is actually, like, kind of happy, and the other one's, like, so dramatic and dark. It'll be fairly consistent, I think.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but the thing is, like, when Gary Ross first got replaced, right, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, I guess the only upside to this would be... a change in style. Like, okay, that'll be sort of, like, refreshing. But then they're keeping this guy for the rest of the time, so that completely trumps that argument. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely see what you're saying.
Like, it's gonna be consistent for the rest of the time, but it's not gonna be consistent for the entire series.
Right.
So is it consistent at all? Like,
I mean, we could end up with something like Harry Potter. And I think it worked out relatively well for Harry Potter, although if you watch the movies in a marathon, and I'm sure many listeners have... It is really obvious, like, how each director changes things, like,
no, you're
Sorcerer's
right.
Stone compared to everything else.
Yeah, see, I'm worried about the jump from Gary Ross to Francis Lawrence now, but,
well, I think Francis Lawrence will at least be able to catch or catching the greediness of it, at least. I mean, he did I Am Legend, which, not the best movie in the world, but still very good.
No, no, I Am Legend is one of the best. I love I Am Legend. I don't know why. I watched it once, and I had, like, a cathartic experience about human civilization, and it was like, whoa.
Well, there you have it, folks. Go see I Am Legend.
No, honestly, though, I Am Legend is amazing. That's why I was so excited for Francis Lawrence, but...
Well, then I think I need to rewatch that.
You should. But, yeah, just let us know what you guys think about him directing the rest of the franchise, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Woo.
So, Alex, what is the final news story?
So the final news story for today is that James Newton Howard will score The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. And so, as you know, James Newton Howard also scored The Hunger Games. And so,
yes,
we're sort of keeping the music of this series fairly consistent so far. What do you think of this, Hurley?
You know what? I do like it, because I guess that provides some of the consistency factor, you know, from movie to movie. I did like the score. You know, I think we've gone back and forth on this about, like, well, should it have been more, you know, not subtle? Like, should it actually have been, like, action-y and all that? But at the end of the day, I think we can agree it was pretty good.
Yeah. And something that you might not know, James Newton Howard has also scored two Francis Lawrence films. He did I Am Legend.
Oh, yes.
Which you just loved. And Water for Elephants, which, oh, I didn't see it, but I heard it was okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't know about I Am Legend. I just forgot about it. Yeah, okay. So that's cool. And I Am Legend, that score actually is really good. There's some good heart-wrenching pieces.
So maybe we could get something sort of like The Dark Knight. I mean, directors and musicians working together so well. They've already, like done stuff beforehand.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought you meant, like, The Dark Knight score. I'm like, no, I wish.
No, nothing's going to trump that.
Yeah, no. But, yeah, I think it's going to be good having him working with someone he has worked with.
Yeah.
That does it for the news, everybody. Yeah, that's all there is to say about that. So now we're going to move into a segment that has not been visited in a while, and that is Chapter Chat. And this is our main segment in which we discuss two chapters from the Hunger Games trilogy. In this week's installment, we will be analyzing chapters 19 and 20 of Catching Fire. As usual, spoiler alert for the entire trilogy. So let's get started with chapter 19. So for the second time, Katniss hears an announcement that the games are beginning. She knows she has 60 seconds to stay still and evaluate her surroundings. Then she can get going. She's super worried and upset about Cinna, but she forces herself to stay focused. She scopes out the area, and this part is water-based, and the cornucopia, which is where the supplies and weapons are equally far away from all the tributes. To get to it, she'll have to swim. So, right off the bat, when I first read this chapter, I'm like, yes! Because, I mean, we've talked about this too, but, like, up until now, I've been kind of a little bit bored, right?
Right.
And I'm like, this arena better be darn good. And right off the bat, she has to swim to get to the cornucopia. Like, it's not even like there's water, like, somewhere. It's like, you have to go through it.
Yeah, I think this is a terrific arena. I mean, it's fun and dandy as, you know, a forest is.
Yeah.
This is just a cool concept.
It's just, I mean...
And as we'll get to later, when she realizes the whole clock formation of all of it, it is fantastic how this works. I mean, this is, like, a lot of imagination going into this.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, I mean, I know part of it was the plan to bust them out, but honestly, like, bravo, game makers, because you've outdone yourself. That's horrible, but, yeah.
Yes,
like,
good job. Find ways to kill people.
But, like, it's so cinematic, too. Like, it's I cannot wait to see how this is.
Yeah, this could look so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, beautiful agreed. In the demented way, but...
Yeah. No, and aesthetically.
And I know they're going to be shooting in Hawaii, right?
Right. So, oh, God. If you saw some of the photos from the island where they're shooting... Oh. Oh. Oh.
Simply, such great locations.
Simply magnificent. Yeah, no. It's awesome. And, you know... Suzanne Collins had to start off with the kind of basic location for the first one.
Right.
And the second one just bumps it up. So, Katniss and the others have to be constantly aware of possible death traps and dangers. The water looks safe, but is it? So, the 60 seconds are up, and Katniss throws herself into the water and swims desperately to the cornucopia. She makes it there super fast and snags the perfect weapon, a bow. So right off the bat, like, if you, I mean, I don't want to, like, do this constantly, but, like, if you just compare this to, like, this exact time in the previous games where she was just scrambling for survival, she already has a bow.
Yeah. I mean, so, she's, I feel like she's a lot more confident now, or at least either confident or suicidal.
Self-destructive.
I mean, yeah, I mean, she's really, you know, she's just really putting herself out there, you know, get the bow, just do it as fast as possible. I don't think she really cares if she dies or not at this point.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, just her kind of, like, who cares kind of thing.
Right.
But also confidence, having been in the past games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the next person there is Finnick, who has his own favorite weapons, a trident and a net. Can you imagine, like, netting someone? Like,
oh, jeez.
Oh, God. Okay, so Katniss nearly kills him before Finnick reminds her that they are allies. He shows her a bracelet that Effie got for Haymitch. So Katniss interprets this as a sign from Haymitch and is annoyed because she didn't want any allies. Already, though, she can tell that she's gonna need him. So Finnick then saves Katniss' life, killing one of the tributes from Five. He lets Katniss know that the tributes from 1 and 2 are liars. So, Katniss and Finnick evaluate the cornucopia. It only has weapons, not food or other supplies. So they move on. Katniss wants to go get Peeta, because he can't swim.
That's a fun fact.
Oh, that's funny. No, it's not, it's horrible, but it's like, you know, like, what are you going to do
if you can't swim? I can't really blame him. I mean, if he grew up in the sea, there's not exactly an ocean nearby. I don't think he's the type that goes swimming in lakes as well. I mean, he's a baker. I don't think he goes to war that often.
So, how did Katniss know how to swim?
Oh, wasn't it already established, like, she and her father went swimming in the lake?
Is there a lake?
I thought that was established earlier on. Is this book or Mockingjay?
Okay, then my bad. No, okay. So there's, like, a legit lake in District 12?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's near the hut, if I'm not mistaken.
The hub? The hob?
No, the, like, the little house in the woods.
Oh, okay, yeah. Actually, you know what? I do kind of remember something.
Yeah, I mean, if we're wrong, listeners, please email us in angry emails. We'll correct ourselves.
Yes, we will. So, so Katniss calculates that 4 other tributes, Gloss, Kashmir, Enobarria, and Brutus, have made it through the water to get weapons. Mags, the old lady Katniss originally thought of as an ally, has begun to swim on her own. And at this point, I remember I was like, yes!
Go, Mags! Like,
old lady swimming? That's awesome. So, Finnick brings Peeta to shore, then goes back to help Mags. They are a small, unlikely group of allies. They're kind of like a group of misfits, sort of.
Yeah, it's the Breakfast Club, except for the Hunger Games.
Yeah, exactly. That'd make a good poster.
Actually, that would make a terrific poster if you just saw them all in the Breakfast Club format.
All the allies.
Down the front.
Somebody make that. It's awesome. So, Katniss sees that BT is still alive. She isn't ready to become allies with him or Wyrus yet, but they should. Obviously. So, after divvying up the weapons, the 4 of them move away from the cornucopia. Katniss realizes that they are kind of in tropical woods. They hike up and up through thick jungle. She stops and observes the cornucopia. The games have already started in earnest, and several people are dead. She thinks about how she and Peeta don't really have any allies. Can they truly trust Finnick? So, she thinks about dropping him right then and there, but he's onto her and is ready. They acknowledge that all the tributes deep down have the capability of being ruthless killers, except for Peeta. They are at a stalemate, and Peeta interrupts. They can't stay where they are. So, I never really considered it like that, but Peeta, he didn't kill anybody.
No, he didn't.
So
yeah, that's interesting.
Like, he truly is the odd one out of everyone here, because everyone kind of, like, okay, let's be fair, Peeta kind of, like, got really lucky on how he got out, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's, the, like, kind of, like, a tribute who shouldn't even be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should have died.
Yeah, I mean, and if it hadn't been for Katniss, he wouldn't be alive.
Right.
Probably wouldn't have gotten even as far in the Hunger Games, like, initially.
No. Right, he would have died, like, pretty soon off. Like, after Katniss found him, like, around then, he would have been dead.
Right.
So, you know, it's just kind of weird to think that he is the only one who isn't truly kind of like a victor, like, killed to get to win, you know?
Right.
Huh, that's interesting. But, you know, we'll see what the implications of that are later.
Yeah. I don't know, it's kind of like a bit of innocence in the Hunger Games. Sort of like a, all these characters, except for PETA, have blood on their hands, literally and figuratively. And so all of them are sort of hardened, they've, you know, become more rough, lost sort of empathy, but PETA is still like, kind of represents like the inner good in everybody. I might be digging too deep into this, and also, currently in class, I'm reading Lord of the Flies, which is also about a bunch of people on an island who, some of them die.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, he sort of reminds me of Piggy, which is one of the characters from Lord of the Flies, and he sort of represents, like, civility and, you know, humans being able to, you know, not be savage. And so I sort of, you know, see PETA in this situation now.
Oh, that's interesting. He's just kind of like the one light of hope of,
right.
Like, there's someone that there's still someone that's uncorrupted from all
exactly.
This madness. Yeah, that's cool. So they keep hiking and they're looking for some source of fresh water. Then they reach some kind of shimmery barrier. Just in time, Katniss realizes that she's seen it before. It's a force field, that the kind that rebounds. So this is awesome because we saw this with Haymitch's games, where he threw the axe
right.
and rebounded. So, before she can let others know, PETA launches into it. The field throws him back onto the others and knocks him out completely. It seems like he's not even breathing. So, my question is, so in the first games, right, Katniss is getting close to the edge of the arena, right? And
mm-hmm.
they have to repel her back with the firebombs, correct?
Right.
So, here, first day, right off the bat, they're already reached the boundary, and nothing's repelled them back. Why did they need to repel them back in the first place? In, like, the first Hunger Games?
I think,
like, if it's a border anyway, and no one can escape, like, why do we need to protect anybody?
Right, well, I think, at least in the original Hunger Games, it was more of, like, a last resort scenario to make sure they don't get out. I think they want to repel them from that in order to make sure that they're actually, you know, playing the games correctly and having to fight each other or survive instead of, you know, just being killed by electricity, which is kind of a lame way to go in the Hunger Games.
Sure.
But in this scenario where they're really trying to kill Katniss, I think that's, like, the largest goal of this. I don't think they care if she dies from touching a force field. I think whatever way she will die is the most convenient.
But will they die when they touch it? I didn't get the impression that it's like an electric fence. I thought it was just like you just can't go past it.
Well, I think, you know, I think it could potentially cause death. I mean, obviously PETA doesn't die when he touches it, but he's pretty hurt by it. And
right.
So I think the game makers will take any chance to get Katniss away. They don't want a better game, they don't want to be more entertained, they just want Katniss dead.
So you're saying they don't care about theatricality at all? They just want her to die one way or another?
Right.
Huh. Oh, that sort of makes sense, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, why would it be that close to the center? How could they get it that easily?
I mean, there's also, you know, the whole claustrophobia aspect of this arena.
Mm-hmm. So just making it just more confined?
Right. I mean, if you can make them feel like they're more trapped, I guess they'll be more likely to try to kill each other. Now, when you're trapped in a room with, like, five people for an extended amount of time, by the end of the day, you just want to kind of strangle them.
Sure.
Or maybe that's just me, but
I don't know what kind of confined spaces you've been in. No, I got you. Okay, so that ends chapter 19, and Alex, take it away with chapter 20.
So in chapter 20, Katniss completely loses it because PETA has died or is dying. Fennec jumps in, and Katniss becomes even more worried that he's going to kill PETA if he's not dead already. But Fennec gives PETA CPR and saves his life. And so, do you think, without the CPR, PETA would have died, or do you think he would have resuscitated?
I don't know. Because I just don't see how, like, I mean, like, what do you think knocked him out? Was it the electricity, or was it just, the impact of him falling to the ground?
I mean, I guess we'll see in the movie, like, how much of a bounce he got from hitting it. But I can't imagine, like, it would be that much, unless he slammed into a tree or something.
Yeah.
I think it would be the electricity.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of imagine it, at, like, in Jurassic Park, when the little boy is on the electric fence and it gets blasted back.
Right.
Yeah, but the Finnick and PETA's mouth-to-mouth scene, you know, that'd be good to see.
Oh, God, I can only imagine the shipping.
No, actually, there was an interview with Jennifer Lawrence where she talked about Sam Claflin's and Josh Hutcherson's bromance.
Oh.
And the comments were abuzz about the mouth-to-mouth scene.
If
that encouraged that. But, yeah. So, he's back to life, though, now.
Yeah, so eventually, just when Cass has given up all hope, PETA comes too. So Cass bursts into tears and can't stop crying. True love. Maybe not, but for now.
So now
she has to be allies with Finnick, because, you know, saving lives and all. But before they get a move on, Candace notices that PETA is wearing a gold neck ornament with a mockingjay on it. As they head back out, Candace admits that she knew about the force field, but she doesn't tell the truth about how. We know, though. Remember how Beating Wires pointed out that out during the training sessions, and how they said the force field had a weak spot?
Psst, foreshadowing.
Candace doesn't want the Game Makers to realize the extent of her knowledge, so she pretends she can hear the field, not saying that she actually saw the shimmery edge. They press on.
So the shimmery edge, that was the physical spot of the, like, the chink in the armor?
Right. And can I just say, wow, what an Achilles heel. I don't know how the Game Makers could really allow that.
Well, I think, like, just the physical, like, structure of, like, of the field, like, it can't be this all-encompassing bubble. Like, it has to have some place where it just kind of folds in, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying
that couldn't be on the very top, at least, you know, where nobody can get it.
that's very true. But I think this is all part of the plan to get them out, right?
It may be, yes.
Because BT and, you know, Wires, they knew about the chink, so they had to know about it to get out, you know, to bust out.
Yeah. I mean, it's all a big conspiracy, but...
Yeah. Okay.
So they press on into unknown territory, looking for water. Max eats some strange nuts, although Katniss thinks it's risky. Despite all the time they've put in, they're not getting anywhere. Katniss climbs a tree to figure out where they are. She soon realizes that the arena is shaped like a huge circle.
Bum, bum, bum.
Whoa! They still don't know where the water source could be, and dehydration is a cruel and slow form of death. They keep going in a new direction, although there's still no sign of water. Finally, Mags and PETA are worn out, and they have to stop for the night. They make a camp. Candace insists on scanning for food and water by herself. A sound of cannon fire comes from afar off, booming 8 times to indicate the number of people who died that day. So, pretty productive day for tribute
killing. Was that how many people died last time? 8?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
I feel like it was more. Oh, well.
I think it was, like, 12 at least. So, I mean, it should be expected when you're with a bunch of people that actually won the Hunger Games are going to be a bit more tough.
Right, yeah. It's not going to just be, like, people dying willy-nilly.
Right. So Katniss finds some small creatures and kills one to eat. She realizes it's been drinking water, but she can't find the source, so she rejoins her allies. They want to eat, but can't make a fire. So PETA throws a piece of the creature against the shimmery wall. They bounce back cooked. Can I say, when I first read this, I'm like, genius!
That's so funny. I've kind of talked about how PETA and Haymitch are kind of like, they have this kind of relationship and they're kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
Haymitch using the wall to his advantage, PETA using it to his advantage.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, I know.
And nice little connection. But I thought that was an awesome way to solve that problem. I found that really funny, actually.
It is really funny. Bounce back cooked.
Yeah,
it's so comical. It's like something you see in a cartoon.
I mean, if they want medium, they throw it just like extra hard. If they want rare, they just kind of lightly toss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is now part of the Hunger Games cookbook, which you can buy on our website for $9.99.
On our website?
I'm just kidding. Don't go for our website to buy a book.
Yet. But go to our website.
Go to our website.
Yeah.
All right. So after that tangent. They eat the meat and some nuts Mags found. The darkness falls, and the faces of dead tributes are projected onto the sky. Two of the nice women Candace liked have died. The most dangerous tribute is still alive. 8 are gone, so 16 remain. After the announcement, they get a gift from outside, attached to a little one parachute. That was not well written. Attached to a little parachute. It's a little piece of pipe. It's sturdy, but they have no idea what it's for. Candace concentrates, but she can't figure it out. They'll just have to wait and see if they come up with any bright ideas. Her mind wanders, and she thinks about what's happening back to District 12. She's hoping her family isn't in danger. Her homesickness leads to an epiphany, though. She figures out what the gift is. It's called a spile, and it's used to draw liquid out of trees. They realize that's where the water is, in the trees.
Yay!
They use this bile and are able to drink their fill. It's a blessing to have as much water as they want after going so long without it.
Now, do they just have unlimited water now? They can just suck it out of the trees?
I guess so. Although, I wonder if the games progressed longer than they did. If, you know, there's two trees left, they would kind of just drain the trees.
Yeah, they could do that. But yeah. How would any tribute survive without the gift, though? Would they?
I don't think they would. Die? I mean, it does rain later on, so they might be able to do that.
But it's like acid rain.
Yeah.
Well, so then, don't drink
that's
that.
What you get for being thirsty, tributes.
Drink that. No,
I mean,
but
I would hope that, you know, each tribute would have, you know, a nice enough sponsor to give them a, you know, way to get water.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if there's, like, a checklist of things that you can actually get handed to each sponsor? Like, all right, what do you want to give your, you know, tribute? One check for a spile?
Yeah, no, without the spile, though, you're completely dead.
Yeah. Now it's easier for them to go to sleep. Finnick keeps watch for the first half of the night. In the middle of the night, Katniss and Finnick hear an unusual sound. A bell chiming 12 times.
Oh my god.
This has to be significant, but they don't know what it means. Nothing else happens, though, so Finnick goes to sleep while Katniss guards. And then it rains.
Oh, you're right. No, it's normal rain. Okay. Never mind.
Katniss hears a cannon shot. Somebody else is out of the games. The rain stops and fog comes into their campsite. Katniss has a funny feeling about it and then realizes that it's burning her. She has to wake the others immediately. She has to wake the others immediately. She has to wake the others immediately!
Oh no!
Ah!
That is... Okay, so the cannon that boomed, was that someone who just died from acid?
It could be.
It has to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense.
I mean, we don't know for sure, but it's kind of the implication.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. Alright, so that does it for Chapter Chat this week, everybody. Please email in with your thoughts on what we just read, which was chapters 19 and 20. Or you can read chapters 21 and 22, and you can literally be on the same page as us.
That's a novel idea.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Okay, so yeah, you can read the chapters 21 and 22 for next week and email us in about those. So that does it for Chapter Chat, and now we are going to move into What If, which is a brand new segment that was submitted by Brianna, and we have not done this segment before. It's one of the new submissions that we haven't tried out, but What If is a segment where we say, what if something happened in this series? What if something was changed? What if something from the real story was in our real life? And this week we have a very intriguing what if, and that is, what if Katniss was a boy? Bum bum bum!
Alright, well, I think the first thing we need to establish with this is that, would it be the exact same scenario? Would there be a girl that was, you know, falling for... What's the male version of Katniss? See, that's the first problem.
The name.
Yeah.
What would the name be? Is Katniss... See, Katniss isn't ambiguous, right?
Alright, let's keep calling him or her Katniss. Anyway, so if there was a girl pining for Katniss, are we presuming that this is the same scenario? Are we presuming that there wouldn't be a girl after him? What are you saying this in?
I think we should say that Peeta would be a girl, and Gale would be a girl, right?
So, Patricia and... Gabrielle?
Let's keep Gale, because okay. Gale's a girl name. let's talk it through this way with, like, switched all, the, like, the gender roles are switched, and then let's go back and, like, for just, like a minute, let's just see if only her gender was changed.
Okay.
So right now we're going to discuss if everyone was changed. So we got Patricia, who's Peeta, and then we got we got Gale, female Gale. And then we gotta change Katniss's name, though. See, we can't go Katie.
No.
Because that would just be,
Kevin?
Kevin. That
it
works.
Okay.
Alright. So we got Kevin in the game. So, right off the bat, would Kevin have the same, would his motivations be the same? Saving his sister, Prim.
Well, if we're changing everybody's gender, then it would be
his
it would be his brother Peter.
Peter, sure.
I mean, I think there would probably be the same driving force behind it.
Yeah,
I don't think that relationship would really change at all.
It's the same sibling love kind of thing.
Yeah, but although, where am I going with this?
I don't know.
Where are everybody's names? I keep forgetting.
Okay, so we got
Kevin. All right, maybe Kevin wouldn't have been so inclined to do it for Peter or Prim, because, you know, Prim in the original. All right, where am I going with this?
Okay, let me just say a point. The thing is, I think it would be a little different. I think he'd still sacrifice himself for Peter, but like a lot of the original Hunger Games, right? Katniss, there's a lot of this like maternal kind of instinct thing,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like making up for like her mother's, you know, like lack of care for the kid,
mm-hmm.
And it's not exactly the same dynamic with man. With the male, you know?
Right.
Like, paternal. That's different, right? I mean, it's not sexist. It's different. So, I think, assuming everything is the same, I think he'd still sacrifice himself, you know, or Kevin.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, I think the biggest difference probably would be, you know, the obvious relationship between, I guess we're calling him Kevin and, what would we say? Patricia?
Peter, right? Patricia.
Yeah. That would obviously be the biggest change.
And how would that be?
Okay, if we're sticking with the personality, then maybe it wouldn't have changed, but if we're just going with if the character is male,
mm-hmm.
at least in literature, there is the stereotype of the guys always falling for the girls and doing whatever it takes to protect them. And so if we go by that stereotype, this would definitely have a different dynamic. It could be as if Peeta were actually, you know, an alpha male himself trying to look out for Katniss. I think a lot of it would have been more focused on, you know, protecting the girl rather than fending for himself.
So in our version with switch genders, Kevin would be more protective of, like, he would actually, he wouldn't be like the stoic character that Katniss is. He would just fall for the girl.
I think given stereotypes, yes. I mean, if we're going with a direct switch, then nothing really would have changed.
But you gotta switch it up just to see what happened. So
right, it is sort of an unfair stereotype. But yes, I do think that he would fall for the girl. I think, like I said before, I think it really would be like if Peeta was actually, you know, a bit more alpha,
had a little bit more gonads.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So all right. So say Kevin and, this is hard. Kevin and Patricia? What did you say?
Patricia? Yeah.
Patricia?
I think so.
No, what was the girl? Okay, so Kevin and Patricia, right? So Kevin has fallen for the girl, which is Peeta, but then how would that play out? Would Patricia reciprocate? Like, you know, like in the books, in the real books, Peeta falls for Katniss, and Katniss never really gives him an answer until later on, but right?
Right.
So, would they have to have this deception like they do in the first one, or would it just be like, Kevin falls for the girl, I mean, say Patricia, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's just a regular kid from the Baker. She isn't, like, she doesn't have many very convictions, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, would she resist it, or what would happen?
I think if we're going with, you know, just a regular person instead of trying to put Katniss's character into that.
Yeah.
I think it would sort of, you know, be your more typical romance. I think she would fall for him. And then, you know, it would definitely be Romeo and Juliet all over again for the ending.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think it would just be kind of your generic love story then. Just with a little bit more death.
Right. Because, like, the reason that, like, the Hunger Games isn't a generic love story is because Katniss is so darn confusing.
Right.
She just can't make up her mind. Mm. But if she is a guy, no offense, girls, but guys are much less confusing. They actually make sense. And if the girl character, which is Peeta's counterpart, is the same kind of situation, just a simple Baker child, I think they're going to be regular love, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So...
But I think... Alright, sort of changing the subject a bit. I think what actually might be the most changed thing is that the big thing about the Hunger Games was that it was a girl doing all these tough decisions. She was fending for herself, and that's a very, you know, empowering thing for, you know, teenage, you know, female readers. And I think...
Sure.
We see a lot of strong males in literature, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think Katniss would have had the same sort of impact on everybody. I mean, boy or girl, you connect with Katniss. Girls connect because, you know, she's a girl. And guys connect because they sort of see the same sort of survival aspect, the same sort of thinking, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if it had been a guy, then it just would have been expected. You don't see weak guys in, you know, books like this. If you'd seen a strong guy, it just would have been exactly what you'd imagine to be.
Yeah, let's just take ourselves out of, like, the story for a second and just talk about real world, like, the book, if it were written that way. I agree, because, like, a lot of the appeal of this is it is a woman, you know, like going against the man or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I agree with everything you said. Would sales be different, do you think, if it was a man? Or male? Would they be higher?
That's a good
question. Lower?
I'd actually say it'd be lower.
Yeah?
Because
I think so, too.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be that many reasons for, you know, all the teenage girls who love, you know, the Hunger Games to read it. Not saying that girls don't like action, you know, books or anything like that. It would probably help if we had, like, Elaine or April on this podcast right now.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's just... It would be a lot more guy-oriented. It would be the more death, war thing that, you know, we tend to like.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, the Hunger Games, the reason it's so successful is that it has two major hooks. One is the premise, which is, you know, great, and two is that it's the female lead. And if you take out the female lead, it's still a great story, but, like, it's not going to attract as much media attention. You know, I mean, that's right. Just the way it is. I mean, I'm not commenting on, like, gender roles or anything, but I'm just saying, that's how it is, right?
Right.
So, yeah. I think it would be less of a phenomenon.
Yeah, definitely. It wouldn't touch as many lives as it does now.
Mm-mm. Because it still does touch male lives, even though it's not a guy, right? Obviously, right. Since we're both
we're
guys. Right.
I mean,
the podcast exists.
We're very, very manly here, but...
We are. It's true.
I'm lifting weights right now, but...
Getting big.
Is there any more points to add?
No, I don't think so. I think add final verdict is the story would have been a more traditional romance with less, you know, less crazy things. All right, so that ends our discussion about what if the gender roles in the Hunger Games were switched. If you have any thoughts on this, which I surely imagine you guys do, please email us in at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com, and we will read them off next week. What do you guys think? I mean, especially about, like, how that would impact the success of the book and so whatnot.
Yeah, email us in, why do you connect with Katniss? What makes her the character that everybody's, you know, loves?
And if her gender has an impact on that.
Right. Would you still have read The Hunger Games if the gender had been changed?
Email us in, and we will read it off. So that does it for What If, and now we're going to move into the final segment of the day, and that is Hrock. And in Hrock, or Hunger Games Rock, we close out the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. This week, enjoy a great song that is my pick, Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney and the Wings. It's a classic, classic rock song, and I've got to give credit to Alex for actually showing me this.
You're welcome.
You know, telling me to do this, but yeah, I think the lyrics really kind of embody the spirit of the Hunger Games, and I wouldn't be not inclined to see a video about this, you know, a little tribute video to the Hunger Games with this song in the back.
Yeah, it could be pretty epic.
Yeah, but
make
first for
bomb. You can get so many explosions in there.
It'd be awesome. I think maybe after all the films are done, we gotta get on that. But first verse right here. When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. You know you did, you know you did, you know you did. But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say Live and Let Die. Now, that is exactly Hunger Games, alright? Before, they were all innocent, but things are different now, and I think this is perfect for Catching Fire, especially, because it's that kind of transition from the old world to, you know, post-rebellion world. So, yeah, enjoy Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney and The Wings. Be sure to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for all your show needs. Comment and discuss on our show posts and find links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter, which are both at /RRPodcast. And of course, contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. Thank you all very much for listening. My name is Hurley Commons.
And I'm Alex Volva.
Fight the capital and the hunger. Join the rebellion.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in, say live and let die.
Live and let die.
Live and let die.
Live and let
And news that just popped up on the bottom of my screen. Liam Hemsworth injured on Catching Fire set promises more action from his character.
Wait, hold on. How old is this news story, though? Because we might not be able
October
to say
20th. Never mind.
It's not really newsworthy.
Nope.
But it's just funny.
I twisted my knee, Hemsworth revealed. I tried to just fight through it. There's so many people standing around waiting for you to do your thing. You feel sort of obliged not to let everyone down.
Okay.
Oh, Liam.
Liam. There's a bunch of action in this one. All the characters have much more action than they did in the first one. Wow.
Hmm.
Wise words.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
No, I think it's just poor word choice.
Okay. Alright. Well.
Give me a second. Okay, I've had a cat attacking me for like the past 5 minutes.
Cat got your tongue?
Oh god. Oh jeez.
Okay. Alright.
We've been reduced to puns here, folks. Remember how beating wires point out? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. The cat just knocked over the microphone. Hold on. All right, you have to understand. We got a kitten, and she is a maniac.
On the floor,
like insane. And for some reason, she's deciding to bother me now because I think I'm the only person in my house.
She's a maniac on the floor.
Yes, karaoke with Rebellion Radio, guys. This is going to be an awesome bloopers.
Oh, it will be. It always is.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I say
just, head... Just... Yeah, okay. Start from there. That's good.